Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. King Joash of Israel inherited a depleted army from his father, Jehoahaz, and continued to maintain the worship of the golden calves, even though he knew it was a political hoax. King Amaziah of Judah hired mercenaries from Joash. Jesus intervened, and this started a chain of events that led to thousands of Abraham's descendants killing each other for nothing, and the temple in Jerusalem being looted. God allowed Joash to rule for 16 years. His administration was marked by corruption, and Joash had nothing to show for his time and power when he died. Like his predecessors, he was evil and went to hell. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm glad to have you here this Sunday. This is a week we had Veterans Day. And we were thankful for the people that have passed, that fought for this country, and so on. And today we're going to be talking about King Joash. And he lived 2,600 some odd years ago, or 700 years ago. But the story that we're going to look at today is as fresh as it would happen today. Because people are people, they might have different weapons, but the relationship, the dynamics between human beings is the same. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that we have this opportunity to be here today, Lord, and to get into your word, to pray, to fellowship with one another, to set aside Sunday morning, Father God, for you. And I just want to praise you right now and bless you greatly for helping me to share this message today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to start my message today by talking about integrity. And integrity is important. I have been saying over the years that lying is unacceptable. Lying is simply not something that we tolerate. And I want to talk about a woman here as we start off. Her name is Elaine Marie Thomas, 67 years old, for the city of Auburn, Washington. She was the director of metallurgy at a foundry in Tacoma that supplied steel casing used by Navy contractors to make American submarines. This lady still could be a mass murderer. What she done from 1985 to 2017, she falsified steel that had been produced at the foundry where she worked. She was in charge of testing, and she falsified the steel as they produced it, and then it was shipped to a yard on the East Coast where they made submarines. Now, why did she do that? Well, here is what she said herself in this report. And let me flip this page over here. She said this: when confronted with doctored results, Thomas told investigators, "Yeah, that looks bad," the Justice Department said. She suggested in some cases you change the test to passing grades because she thought it was stupid that the Navy required the test to be conducted at a negative 100 degrees Fahrenheit, negative, or it would be 73.3 degrees Celsius at the very cold temperature. Well, if you know anything about metal, the colder a metal gets, the more brittle it gets, and the more easier it has to crack. She's facing $1 million fine and 10 years in prison. And she made a statement and said, "I surely did not plan this for my retirement. I'm thinking about the men in the submarines that depend upon that when they make steel, and for you to understand a little bit, you have iron, and then you put in nickel, and you put in a number of different other metals, and it's very well calculated, and you remelt the iron. You put all these ingredients in, and then when it cools down, you have it, you roll it, and you get steel, different depth, different thickness. And so they make these big plates or rolls, and they use these particular ones they use in submarines. You take 150, 200 men that go out in a submarine, and they go down, and when it came to a certain depth, the steel ain't what it should be, and the sub cracks, and they all die and go to the bottom. That's dramatic for those sailors. Now, the people that falsified information, it's just, well, too bad. Yeah, it's too bad the people died. I wanted to share that with you here today because in this message here of integrity, that the kings that we're going to talk about here today did not have integrity. And you and I, we need to recognize this, that you and I hold in our hands people around us. Somebody witness to me. Somebody prayed for me to be saved. Somebody witnessed to you. It might be family. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody took time and led you to Christ. And you received eternal life. And when you die, you're going to go to heaven, which is a good thing. But you realized that somebody took time with you. Integrity means that we recognize our responsibilities. We don't cheat like this lady did because she thought it was stupid to test it at such a temperature. She just wanted to get the stuff out. And that's how we live many times, you know. Well, I don't have time to talk to this person. Oh, they always call for prayer. You know, I don't have time to talk to them. And so I got more important things to do. I was sitting in a sauna last night that was built about 15 years ago. And as I looked upon the walls, I remembered the guy that helped me to build it. I'm not going to give his name. He's a good brother in Christ. But I remember the day we built that, he told me this. "I'm in a big hurry. We got a meeting tonight. I gotta hurry. And he literally threw that sauna together. I mean, it went fast. And as soon as he got the last plank in, he was gone. And that was about 15, 16 years ago. And I thought about that meeting is over. The sauna is still here. We still use it. But he didn't have time to really give it the attention it needed. It was thrown together because I got a meeting. I got to talk to a relative. I got to have a phone call. I got to do this. We throw things together instead of saying, this is the moment I have. It will never come back. I need to be diligent. I need to do this right. That's integrity. Let's turn with me right now to 2 Kings chapter 13, verse number 10. The 2 Kings 13 at verse number 10. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, began Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, to reign over Israel and Samaria, and he reigned 16 years. This king got 16 years that he was king of Israel. In verse number 11, we read this, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin, but he walked therein. This man, Joash, as it was shortened to, his dad was a king. His grandfather was a king, and he had killed people to become a king. And I'm sure he grew up in a palace, and there were plenty of food. I'm sure he got spoiled. I'm sure he had toys, whatever they had in those days. I'm sure he got weapons, little swords and knives and daggers to play with, because after all, he was going to be a king, and he's going to go to war, so he needed to learn how to kill. And he never thought about eternity. He was thinking about now. This is what I have. Let's read from my outline here. Joash realized that he needed help from God. Now, he was promoting the golden calves, one in Dan, one in Bethel, and told people, you know, this is where you worship, this is where the action is. But he knew inside it was a joke, it was a hoax. These calves had no power. It was just demonic. And he got plagued. The Syrians kept coming over the border. And Joash realized, the golden calf can't help me. I need God Almighty. Isn't it amazing when people are down to the wire, they seek God. They look for people they know God. Joash knew that Elisha was God's prophet, and the king sought him out upon his deathbed because Elisha was on his deathbed. In verse number 14, we read this. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What a phony. Here he is promoting his golden calves, collecting the taxes, living a high life, but now his high life is threatened. So he goes to Elisha, and he is as phony as a $4 bill. The prophet answered him. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took him the bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put your hand upon a bow. He put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hand upon the king's hands. And he said, open a window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot, and he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you shall smite the Assyrians in Aphek till you have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice or three times, and he stayed. He felt, that's stupid, you know, strode as he did three times. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, as Elisha was angry, you should have smitten them five or six times. Then you smit in Syria, you had consumed it. Whereas now you should smite Syria but thrice or three times. And then Elisha died after that. Why did God answer the king's request? The reason is this, that God simply tried to hang on to Israel. He tried to work with them as much as he could. And so he gave them a miracle. The question is, was they going to use it, or was he going to simply let it go to waste? In verse number 23, and the Lord was gracious unto them, had compassion on them, had respect unto them, because of the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them, neither cast them from his presence as yet. One little word, as yet. Do you know why God is gracious to us today as a nation? Not necessarily because we are alive today, but people that came here in the 1600s, 1700s, the men that founded the nation, crafted the Constitution under the power of the Holy Spirit, all the preachers that have been here, all the revivals that have been here, all the prayers that have taken place for centuries in America. That's what we are living on. And God is simply saying to America today, I want to save you. I want to be merciful to you. But if you look around, people are sinning wildly. There's so much hate against Christ. And you see, the Biden administration, they simply hate God. They're destructive. Can we change the situation? We can. If we say this, God, use me. Revive me. Let the fire in me. Light the fire in me. And let others catch fire. And we read to Hazael, king of Syria, died. Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his stead. And Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, took again out of the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. Three times did Jehoash beat him and recover the cities of Israel. Let's talk about dirty politics, because that's what we have today. Let's turn now to 2 Kings 14, 1 through 4. And now, we're going to move to the southern kingdom, Jerusalem. In the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. 29 years. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Yet not like David his father, he did according to all things as Joash his father did. Howbeit the high places were not taken away, as yet the people did sacrifice and burn incense on the high places. This king now, well, he was simply went halfway. He began to go back to worship of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he did not remove the high places. The high places were the groves, where the people would go and dance and drink and fornicate and sacrifice to demon gods. He let that stay. He was halfway through. In verse number 5, and it came to pass as soon as the kingdom was confirmed in his hand, that he slew his servants, but had slain the king of his father. So as soon as he got strength in his hand, he had the kingdom of Judah in his hand, he simply went and murdered the people that had murdered his father. But now he was a little bit religious. But the children of the murderers he slew not according to what's written in the book of Law of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the father shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children shall be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. So, he was good, he was bad, he was what you call a mixed bag. In verses number 7 and 8, he slew of Edom in the valley of Saul 10,000 and took Selah by war and called the name of Jokteel in that day. So he simply wanted to have war. So we're going to turn now to 2 Chronicles 25. That's 2 Chronicles, and we're going to go to the 25th chapter, and we're going to pick it up here in verse number 6. So he decided, now I'm going to go to war against Edom, and I need some additional soldiers. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. So now he was going to have a little war. He'd hired some men from the north, but he didn't ask God. How many times have you done things not asking God, but just doing them because it seems good? That's a disaster. Verse 7. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the arm of Israel go with you. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. So the prophet came and said this, God is not with Israel. You're hiring 100,000 men. They're losers. They're cursed. And then the prophet said, but if you will go, do it, be strong for the battle, God shall make you fall before the enemy, for God has power to help and to cast down. Now, Amaziah was a typical guy that simply said, let us read it. And he said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. So in other words, don't worry about the money that you in your stupidity invested. Let it go. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit the army that was come to him of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore the anger was greatly kindled against Judah, And they returned home in great anger. At the time now of war in these days, a soldier, if it was a mercenary like in these people, they would get paid, but also they would be free to loot. They made a lot of money on looting after they have taken an area. So these 100,000 soldiers something said, you know, well, we got paid, but we got cheated because the looting is where the money is. We could have got some women, we could have got some gold and silver and clothing, and, you know, he took it away from us. These are people from Israel, from the 9 tribes, and they returned in great anger. So now, we go to verse number 12 through 15, as we're way down here. Another 10,000, actually verse 11. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people, went to the valley of Salt and spoke to the children of Seir, 10,000. Seir and Edom is the same thing. Another 10,000 left alive to the children of Judah carry away captive, brought them unto the top of the rock, and cast them down from the top of the rock, that they were all broken in pieces. This was cruelty. They took 10,000 soldiers as POWs, prisoner of war, and they simply marched them up on a mountaintop to a mountaintop. And you can imagine now they have these people that were no arm, these are soldiers. They were fathers, brothers, young men, older men. And they were marched up like cattle. And those that didn't comply, they would just beat the tar out of them. And they got up to the top, and you can imagine the crying as they picked these guys up and pushed them over the cliff. And they just fell down, hit the rock, and the side of the rock got smashed and ended up at the bottom, blood spurting all over the place. And just a massacre. 10,000 men that had taken prisoner, no weapons, murdered. I want you to see the cruelty of the 12 tribes of Israel. They did not turn out to be nice people. They turned out to be pretty nasty. And they really showed their nastiness when Jesus came. And there was a mob that had been able to get together and cried, "Crucify him. Crucify him." So now these 100,000 soldiers from Israel, they simply looted in Judah. Read verse number 13. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to the battle, fell upon the cities of Judah, from Samaria even unto Beth Horon, and smote 3,000 of them, and took much spoil. They became marauders. They just started attacking people in Israel, in Judah. Killed men, women, and children, burned down the houses, took their gold, silver, clothing, weapons, whatever they had, and they simply helped themselves. And there must have been a tremendous crying as these civilians were hurt. Let's go back now to 2 Kings chapter 14. It's 2 Kings, chapter 14. And we pick it up here in verse number 8. Then Amaziah sent messenger to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, "Come, let us look one another in the face." I've read that verse many times. It didn't make sense to me. But this was simply a challenge. Look another in the face is simply what they used to do, if you remember that. In the 1800s, they would have a glove. And they would take the glove off and they would slap the guy across the face and have him to challenge to a duel, whether they would shoot one another or with a sword. So he simply challenged the king of Israel. Why? Well, he wanted payback. He simply said, these lousy 100,000 soldiers of yours, they looted. I want payback. I want revenge. Hey, king of Israel, come on down here. Let's settle this score here. I'm going to take care of you. And Jehoash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, give your daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trod down the thistle. He simply said, hey, Amaziah, you're like a thistle. You're barking at the tree in Lebanon. These were huge like redwood trees. And then he said, you have indeed smitten Edom, and your heart has lifted you up. Glory of this, and tear it home. For why should you meddle to your hurt, and you should fall, even you and Judah, with you? He simply said, okay, you got proud. Why don't you stay home? Shut up. Don't challenge me. But Amaziah would not hear. Therefore Jehoash, king of Israel, went up, and he and Amaziah, king of Judah, looked one another in the face at Beth Shemesh, which belongs to Judah. The king of Israel said, if you're going to have a war, it's going to be in his backyard. We're not going to fight it in my country. And Judah was put to the worst before Israel. And they fled, every man to their tents. And Jehoash, king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Jehoash, the son of Ahaziah, and came to Jerusalem and broke down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim unto the corner gate 400 cubits. He simply erased a huge 400 feet of the wall around Jerusalem. And then they went in, and he says this, and he took all the gold and the silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of the Lord, and in the treasure of the king's house and hostages, and returned to Samaria. So Amaziah lost the war. He got looted himself. The temple got looted. His palace got looted. His city was destroyed partly. And he was just sitting there and saying, now what? I want you to see the futility. We had Joash. We had Amaziah. Two men have been elevated to kings. They could have done something for the Lord. And instead they lived for themselves. They smashed one another up. They were brutal. And then it says here, in verse number 16, and Jehoash slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. And Jeroboam, his son, reigned in his stead. All the gold, all the silver, all the things that he had taken was left in Samaria. And he died. And he went to hell. Futility. Let's go to the last page. We're going to look upon, to do a little summary here. It had been 149 bad years since the Northern Kingdom broke away with the nine tribes. We're not looking at the virtual time run. It's been passed. The Godhead watch the funeral of King Joash. And then they begin to discuss among themselves what happened. Lucifer had been able to infuse the sin nature into his people and their kings. Idolatry, lying, stealing, murdering, deception was rampant. Soldiers looted and murdered men, women, and children at will. There were very few traces left of the instruction Jesus had given to Moses. Could Israel be saved? Was the Northern Kingdom a lost cause? Can America be saved? Or is it a lost cause? The Godhead has sent in two powerful prophets, Elijah and Elisha. But these men were not able to make a dent in the sinful ways of the kings and the people. This week I was in a business in the area here, and there was a young woman, to me a young woman, probably about 30, 35 years old. I would say she's probably born after about 90, late 1980s, 1990. I was talking to her about the vaccine, and I said, you know, it is really strange that we had Franklin Graham, who has been promoting the vaccine strongly, got sick. His heart sac around his heart got attacked, which is typical of the vaccine. He was taken to the Mayo Clinic, and they had to work hard to save his life, and they were able to, through surgery and other treatments, to get him back out. And as I talked to her, I said, by the way, do you know where Franklin Graham is? She said, no, never heard of him. Oh, really? Well, have you heard about his dad, Billy Graham? She said, never heard the name. Who was he? What did he do? I talked to another person the other day that was born after in the late 80s. And I said, you know, do you remember the Tiananmen Square? Because the guy was about 3 years old when it happened. He said, never heard of it. I said, you never heard about the Tiananmen Square in Beijing where they killed and slaughtered thousands of people in the 1990s? No. And I realize now that most people born, I would say after 1985, they know nothing about the past. History is something they don't know. They don't know what has happened. They're totally ignorant. And that's why they can get manipulated. Because when we started watching television back in the 50s, there was a slogan. I saw that on TV. It must be true. We were just fresh to television. Yeah, you saw it on television. God had sent to Israel Elijah and Elisha, two powerful prophets. I mean, these men were powerful. They didn't make a dent. I do remember from the 1960s and up, particularly in America, we had Billy Graham Crusades. Anywhere from 100,000 people up in the meetings. I've been part of two or three of them as a counselor. Every Sunday we had good television preachers. Rex Hubbard. Number of others. And we had a full gospel businessman meetings. Hundreds of thousands of people. Tremendous Christian activity. And suddenly it dried up. Disappeared. And now would you ask people living today, do you know what happened back there? No, never heard of these. Who are these guys? What do they do? We We simply have lost it because we are not educated. Go back to my outline here. That God had decided to give Israel more time. I have never seen this before in my life. I've been 50 years preaching the gospel. And as I went through this here, looking at each verse and looking upon it and praying over it, here's what I saw. That God had decided to put in four prophets at the same time. Hosea, Joel, Amos, and Jonah. Yes, you and I have read these guys' prophecies. We know they're powerful. But I did not know that they were contemporaries. They were put into Israel, northern Israel, at the same time to stem the tide and to try to bring the nine northern tribes back to God. Did it work? We find out next week. But turn to the prophet Hosea chapter 4. And I want you to see what this guy had to say. That he was simply fearless. Hosea, right after Daniel. And we start here in the book of Hosea chapter 4. And verse number 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. If you read Hosea and not know what time it was in and who he talked to, it's not as powerful. We just talked about these two kings right now in Israel, how cruel they were. And this is what God is saying. Hear you, the word of the Lord, you children of America. Because in our land, there's no truth, there's no mercy, there's no knowledge of God in the land. By swearing, lying, and killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. He said here, have you heard the cries? We're trying to stop the abortions. And you find the people that are filled with Satan rising up. It fears anger. How dare they? Roe versus Wade, that's in stone. Yes, it is a stone of hell. Therefore, shall the land mourn. Everyone that dwells therein shall languish with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fish of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another. For thy people are as they that strive with a priest. Where is God putting the blame? Therefore shall you fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. And here's the truth. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, that you should be no priest to me. Seeing you have forgotten the law of God, I will also forget your children. God is simply saying this. The church is a problem. At the time of Israel, we talked about today, the Levites were simply absent. They were there, but they did not speak up. They did not take the law and simply begin to preach and teach to the people. There was no education. There was no education. Look what's happened to the public school system in America today. It's called an indoctrination. It's no more education. They're even talking about that mathematics is a racist. And they need to change mathematics to be no absolutes. Two and two is no longer four. It could be four and a half, or it could be three. They want to teach mathematics so it is not racist. I mean, the stupidity of the people coming up with all the stuff they're coming out. It's incredible. It's straight from Satan. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. That you should be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget the children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory to shame. They eat up the sin of your people. They set their heart on their iniquity. And they should be like people, like priests. I will punish them for their ways and reward their doings. What happened to America after 1970? Here's what happened. There's a new generation coming in. There's a new day. New teaching. I remember the shift. I still wear a suit today when I preach. And the reason I do that is I dress up. When I go to church Sunday, I dress up to honor God, not people. Amen. But it became a fashion for preachers. Don't have a tie, baggy jeans, and a coat on, a stool to sit on. We got Rick Warren showing up, and we got his 40 days fast, purpose-driven life. And you look at these so-called preacher boys, and they all started looking the same. They walked the same. They talked. They were just clones. And then you had all the scandals. Mega pastors in the 80s and 90s, even now. Hillsong, another scandal. Pastors fornicating, adultery, getting involved in homosexuality. It's all over the place. On top of the heap on the dunghill, Joel Osteen. Folks, it's nice. Be blessed. Be blessed, man. Just keep the money coming. I sound like Joe Biden now. I don't want to sound like him. But that's what happened. So what we need is, we need people like Hosea. We need prophets like Amos, Joel, that would simply say, thus is the Lord. And preaching it like it is. And telling people, you live in sin. You're shacking up. You're not married to that woman. You're fornicating. Well, I go to church. You know, we live in a new time. No, that's not a new time. It's the same time in hell. Time has not changed. We need to go back to biblical truth. In a few weeks, we're going to see Israel disappearing, never again to come back. The people simply punished to the max. But I want to leave you today with one verse. Back to Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. that you shall be no priest to me, saying, you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. We need to call out sin. When you got a person that is a drug addict, you need to tell them, hey, you are a sinner. You are destroying yourself. You're destroying your family. The alcoholic, no, there's no excuse for you to drink that stuff. That's a sin. You're sinning. When you meet the fag and they begin to talk to you about how great they are, you need to tell them, hey, fag, you are a sinner. And if you want to know what God thinks about it, he talks about it in the Bible. You can read about Sodom and Gomorrah. He burned them all. We need to tell people that are shacking up. It's not acceptable. We are not accepted. If you are a parent and you got children shacking up, you need to speak up. If they invite you to their dinners and places, you simply say, I'm not going to go into the house of the wicked. Your house is the house of the wicked. I'm not going there. Repent. This is how we need to live now. This is how we need to begin to think if this nation is going to be saved. Who's going to tell the people are sinning unless we do it as Christians? But you know, you want to be politically correct. You don't want to be outed. You don't want to lose your place on Facebook or Twitter. You know, you don't want people to come down on you. Well, we need to speak up. We need to push back. We need to simply say, you know, this says the Lord, God Almighty. And so, this is how I want to end this message today. I started out with the COVID-19. And by the way, the COVID-19 is, they're losing it in Europe. It's coming back a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh wave. People vaccinated are dropping with COVID. It's not working, folks. God is simply saying, you're not going to ease yourself out of this. There's only one way to get out of this. Repent. This church never closed for the COVID-19. I have not been vaccinated. I do not plan to be vaccinated. We have functioned. I am protected. We have been protected by Almighty God. We're not boasting and saying that we are great people. We're simply saying this every week. We pray, God, protect us. He does protect us. We have no fear. I don't have a mask when I go out. I simply tell people, you know, what you have a mask for, it doesn't work anyway. But we need to recognize things are changing, either for the good or for the worse. So how do we pull this together today? First of all, I want to speak to those of you that are not saved. If you heard me today and you said, I am not saved, I want you to be saved today. I want you to go to heaven. I don't want you to go to hell. All you have to do is just admit, I'm a sinner. God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross. He rose and he paid for them. Jesus, come in and save me. And Jesus will. When we finish here, I say this every Sunday, your screen will change, three crosses will come up, you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend, and he will take you step by step through salvation and help you to be saved. And when you do that, we would love to hear from you. I would love to pray with you over the phone, and we would love to talk to you, send you some stuff, some biblical stuff that can help you out. So please take that advantage and get saved today. To those of you that are saved, we need to shape up. It is not good enough to keep ourselves clean. It's not good enough to just getting by. We need to increase our prayer life. We need to introduce fasting into our life. We need to increase our witnessing. We need to increase standing in the public square and say, thus says the Lord God Almighty, when we meet people we have access to. We need to step up to the plate. And I'm encouraging you. I'm begging you. Would you live in the United States? You live outside the United States. Would you stand up and be a prophet, be a Hosea, be an Amos, and simply saying, thus says the Lord. My prayer is that you will step up to the plate and that you will be one of the people that will bring this country back to God. May God bless you. Here's Brother Thomas to close.
Father God, thank you for the word here today. And Lord, I've been saying it for many, many days. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord, that we can have perfect peace in you. We thank you for the history lesson that we heard here today that is very pertinent to today. And we lift up this wicked nation to you, America, and that's what it's become. Thank you for a remnant that will run through, Lord. Thank you for our many blessings. Thank you for knowledge and understanding. And Lord, pray that the word will go out and people will take heart. And if the shoe fits, wear it. That's the bottom line. If the shoe fits, wear it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see,
God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner, and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 45th part in the series, The Origin Story of Jesus, and was entitled, The Kings of Israel. King Joash of Israel inherited a depleted army from his father and sought help from Elisha because the Syrians were pressing hard. In doing so, he was scolded by the prophet for lack of effort. In the meantime, King Amaziah decided to go to war with Edom, and hired 100,000 mercenaries from Joash. Jesus intervened, and the mercenaries were very angry because the real money was found in looting, and they felt cheated by Amaziah's action. As a result, the mercenaries took revenge by killing and pillaging the inhabitants of Judah on their way home. Amaziah sought vengeance for their actions and challenged Joash to a fight. Amaziah refused to back down, and Judah was beaten badly. Joash marched his counterpart to Jerusalem and tore down a section of the city wall, looted the temple and Amaziah's palace, and returned with hostages to Samaria. Joash did evil in God's eyes. Like his predecessors, he died and went to hell with nothing to show for his time and power. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1834. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.